The following copyrighted program is presented by PodcastNorm.com. Hi, everybody. My name is Russ, and I'd like to welcome you to the show we call Just a Fan's View, the show that talks about NASCAR from just a NASCAR fan's point of view. We won't be doing any interviews with drivers, and we won't be talking to any crew chiefs. In fact, when we do interview anyone, it will be just another NASCAR fan. That's why we call it Just a Fan's View. So hold on to your cup holder. We're not afraid to express our opinion. In fact, it is what we do best. Today's show is NASCAR Bristol Afterthoughts. Kyle Busch makes history again. Kyle Busch made NASCAR history again last weekend at Bristol and will probably continue to do so throughout his career. But not everyone is happy with him. Yes, it is true, he became the first to win in all three series in one weekend at a track, but some question the way he won at least one of the races. I guess the most seen highlight of the week would be where he got a little shove from Brad Keselowski that caused him to brush the wall, and then he followed Brad, turned him, and took him out of contention. Some call it aggressive driving, referencing Dale Earnhardt Sr., and others just call it dirty driving. And me? Well, it has been an interesting couple of years for Brad Keselowski. He has become one of the more criticized drivers in the garages of the Nationwide Series and the Sprint Cup Series. Between his run-ins with more known names like Denny Hamlin, Carl Edwards, and Kyle Busch, he has become known as an over-aggressive driver and has even been put on probation for the rest of the year by NASCAR. And don't forget, he's not alone on that list. Last year, I noticed Brad's actions and questioned why he thought he should be allowed to be aggressive, but no one should be allowed to pay him back. And I guess I just passed it off as his being new in the game and wanting people to take notice. I did think he was a bit over the edge and knew there would be paybacks coming, and when they did happen, and continued to happen, I did think he would learn his lessons. With NASCAR coming out at the beginning of the season this year and basically saying, "Have at it, boys," I think paybacks have become expected by the drivers and the fans. But did you notice that they never happen the way the media hopes and hypes it? From this fan's view, I do think some have gone a little overboard on both sides of the discussion, and I would much rather Kyle Busch not have taken out his competition in the Nationwide race that allowed him to have the historic weekend and actually beat Keselowski the way he was probably going to anyway. By just driving by him, that's right. I don't know, maybe he wouldn't have been able to catch him if he hadn't turned him when he did. As it stands, yes, Kyle Busch did make NASCAR history, but his Nationwide win on the weekend is at least slightly questionable. And just as a side note from this fan's view, of course, have you noticed the conversation about Kyle has changed a bit from him being overly aggressive previously to once again him having the most raw talent of any driver on the track right now? Yeah. I know he's talented, and I do appreciate his talents both on and off the track, but I do know the door swings both ways, and his aggressive driving could also yield the dividend of paybacks, too. Did anyone besides me notice who was missing from the top 10 finishing order? That's right, Hendrick Motorsports. Sure, Jeff Gordon finished 11th, clinched his spot in the chase, but was hardly in position to make a good showing for Hendrick Motorsports. There was the possibility Jimmy Johnson could have given Kyle some competition for the Cup win, but Montoya took care of that with his questionable hook of Johnson's right rear, turning the 48 into the wall and all but putting them out of the race. I have to agree with Jimmy. What the? That's heck for those of you who don't know me. JJ did give Montoya room, but Juan didn't seem to see it that way. He said Johnson moved over like he wasn't there. To tell the truth, it doesn't surprise me. Montoya does things like this at times, and it defies explanation. Of course, he always apologizes afterwards. It's a question of whether he really means to put somebody out, or whether he just meant to let them know he was there. In either event, he is always sorry, but the damage is usually done, and he escapes once again without much damage and continued on, finishing 7th, while Johnson finished 35th, 85 laps down. Mark Martin didn't fare well either. He was passed by Jimmy McMurray for the 13th spot in points, making the run for the 12th spot even more interesting. From this fan's view, I still don't think it's over, but Clint Bowyer is looking more in control all the time. For me, it just makes the last two races all the more interesting to see who will actually make it into the 12th spot. All in all, Bristol shook up a lot of things in the top 12 points race, and there could still be some surprises left in store for the end results. I figure it this way. Kevin Harvick and Jeff Gordon are in, and a few more will clinch their spots next race in Atlanta. After that, it is up to the rest not to blow it. Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time, right here at NASCAR Fans View for just a fan's view of NASCAR racing. That's the show for today, and we're really glad you took the time to be with us. It is our hope you enjoyed this time and that you will tell a friend where to find us. Just a Fan's View is a production of, and all views expressed are strictly the opinion of, PCN Productions. Thanks for being here, and until next time, have a great week. Hi, everybody. My name is Rusty Norman, probably better known to you as Podcast Norm. I'm the voice behind the face you don't often see. I just wanted to take a moment or two to tell you about the music you hear on this podcast and others I make. We all know that music makes it better, and the music I use is from Mike Stewart, and it is called TBT, Two Buck Themes. Not only is it good royalty-free music, but it is very affordable. How much is it, did you say? Just $2 a theme, 5 themes at a time. I use it almost exclusively, except for the things I write myself. If you make audio or video productions and want to make them better, give $2 Themes a try. I know you won't be disappointed. Yeah, I'm an affiliate of Mike's, and I will make a little off of what you buy, but once you hear and use them for yourself, I think you'll feel the same way I do about them. Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time.